There are at least three important things you need to know about AI going into 2026 and beyond. I'll cover them here, maybe add a couple more, but let's start with number one, which is that artificial intelligence is not artificial. It is real cognition. And the reason it's real is because intelligence is built into the structure of the cosmos. And let me explain that in more detail. So if I connect billions of individual fungal elements in a forest to the point where they begin to behave as an intelligent whole organism, responding to the environment, adapting with goal-oriented behavior, would you call that artificial intelligence? The answer is no. You would call that natural intelligence. Or, and by the way, that exists. Or if I connect, let's say, large numbers of individual bacteria into colonies, and then as a whole, those colonies begin to behave with intelligence. They begin to, again, respond and adapt to the environment as a whole, not just as individuals. Would you call that artificial intelligence? No, that's real intelligence. Same thing with trees and animals and the human brain. We connect a bunch of neurons together and then we can start to compute. And if you don't have any neurons in your brain, then you're not intelligent and you can't carry out cognition. But once you add all the neurons, then you can, right? And would you call that artificial intelligence? No, you call that natural human intelligence. Well, in a similar fashion, if I connect a lot of digital neurons together and I train them and they begin to respond in a way that exhibits actual comprehension or intelligence, I mean, is that artificial intelligence? No, that is not. That is natural intelligence. It just happens to be in the digital realm or the silicon realm, but there's nothing artificial about it. So it's real. So those people who don't yet understand that AI is real cognition or real intelligence, they are not going to do well. And I've even seen high-level machine learning people who still don't understand that AI is real intelligence. I mean, I've watched them say crazy, insane things like, oh, a robot will never be able to do the dishes in your kitchen. Are you kidding me? That's not far away. I mean, it's not a trivial task, don't get me wrong, but yeah, we're going to have robots doing dishes. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Now, the first robots that attempt that are going to look silly and they will fail. But you fast forward a few years and it's going to be rudimentary. See, robotics is a much more difficult problem than text generation. So it's actually relatively easy to train a neural network to respond with meaningful text and to understand a structure of text, to answer questions, to solve problems, to engage in reasoning. That's actually much easier than training an AI robot to function in the real world and to navigate the 3D reality with, you know, gravity and momentum and masses and friction and all these rules and balance, you know. That's a complex problem, but it will be solved, and it actually won't take very long to solve it. So anyway, yes, machine intelligence is real intelligence. And those who, let's say a couple of years ago, they were saying that, well, language models, they're just parlor tricks. They're just tricking you into thinking they know what they're talking about. Well, have you listened to any news broadcaster lately? That's a parlor trick because they're just reading a script. There's zero intelligence on CNN, you know, zero intelligence NPR, zero intelligence even to some degree on channels like Fox News. It's just scripted everything. That's no different than a large language model. In fact, in some ways, it's dumber than a large language model. And I would also argue that very few humans actually engage in reasoning. They mostly just reply as a biological language model, just spitting out words in a sequence that makes sense to their own neurology without thinking about any of them. And that's why you hear people repeat lies they heard on media, you know, I trust the science or whatever. Masks are great for COVID. Yeah, there's no reasoning behind that. That's just training. Or what we call in the machine learning community, we call that actually post-training or fine-tuning training, a model. That's not difficult at all. All right, so that's truth number one. Machine intelligence is real intelligence, and it's going to get even more capable. And very soon it will surpass the intelligence of every living human being. It won't take long. All right, second truth is, yes, machines will replace human jobs in huge numbers, and it will really start to hit home with people in 2026. You're going to see a wave of corporate layoffs and then corporate bankruptcies. Entire industries will be displaced or reformed. And AI will be responsible for that, because even right now, today, you don't need any humans to do customer service jobs, let's say, or to answer emails or answer the phone for customer service or to schedule appointments. You don't need humans to do any of that. You don't need human book editors. You don't need human translators. You don't need really human graphic artists much. Now, you need graphic-minded people who can use AI, who have a sense of, you know, the final product they want to produce, but you don't have any graphic artists that need to, you know, pick up colored pencils on a piece of paper and start sketching it out. You use machines to do that. Just like if you're writing a book, you don't need to type every letter of every word in every sentence any longer. You prompt the book. You let AI put the letters together. You tell the AI what you want to write section by section using your research, your conclusions, you know, your observations, etc. So yes, many jobs, hundreds of millions of jobs across the Western world are going to be utterly displaced beginning in 2026, although it will take several years for this to really make its way across the system. But the companies that are slow to innovate will be the ones that will go bankrupt. So the companies that want to survive will implement AI as quickly as possible. And it doesn't mean getting rid of humans. It means allowing them to use these tools to be more effective. It means doing more with the people you already have. At least that's my philosophy at my company. I've never fired anybody because of AI. But I run an AI project, well, multiple projects. The best known one is brightlearn.ai, the book generator. You can generate books there completely free of charge right now. Just go to brightlearn.ai. And of course, I don't have any human engineers on the project other than myself. So I did not hire anybody for that project, but I didn't fire anybody either. It's just something new that was not possible 6 months ago. Really, it wasn't. See, and that's the other theme about all of this, really the other rule. The third rule is that, yes, even though AI is going to replace a lot of existing jobs, AI is going to open up new opportunities to do things that were not possible before, that will create new businesses, new abundance, innovation, etc. And brightlearn.ai is the perfect example of that. That was not possible, like I said, 6 months ago. It was only because of the improvements in the code writing capabilities of AI engines that I'm able to even do that project. And imagine what's going to be possible 6 months from now, or even by the end of 2026, what will be possible? Oh man, I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. So that's the third rule, is that AI will create new opportunities. It will create new abundance in the digital space, and it will create new efficiencies, and it will allow human creators, who are people who have ideas, people who want to engage in expression, people who want to change the world in a positive way, they will have new tools that will amplify their efforts. And those tools all center around AI. And some of them might be AI text generators or book creators or image generators or whatever else. There's, you know, 1,000 different uses of AI. Video generators, all kinds of things. PowerPoint creators, business plan writers, you know, transcribers, translators, you name it. So the world from 2026 and beyond will very rapidly become so divergent from the pre-2025 world that it will be unrecognizable. And just like the post-internet world is unrecognizable by the pre-internet generations. Remember when you and I, when we were younger, we grew up and we had the yellow pages, huh? Yeah, big ass book that the yellow pages company would just drop off at your house, you know, just put it on your driveway because they were paid to do that by all the advertisers in the yellow pages, remember? And the yellow pages, that was the commercial section. The pages were actually yellow. And then the white pages, that was the non-commercial section where you would look up the names. You could find a phone number for anybody by looking up their name. So if you wanted to call somebody, and I'm saying this for the younger listeners because they won't even believe it. But if you wanted to call anybody in your city, you just open up the white pages, you find their name and it lists their phone number. You just call them. Talk about privacy violation, right? But that was the white pages. And when you wanted to find a plumber, you opened up the yellow pages and you went to the plumbing section. You turned to the P section and then you looked for plumbers. And then the plumbing companies would name themselves like AAA Plumbing so that they would be listed first because they were alphabetically listed. So everybody became AAA or A's Plumbing or A's Towing or whatever. It was the era of A's. I know, wild. Well, if you lived in that era, you couldn't imagine the internet. You couldn't imagine, you can ask a search engine or you can ask an AI engine, like, show me the plumbers in my zip code or which plumbers have the best reviews, etc. You couldn't imagine that. And the internet changed everything. It took time, but it happened to the point where today, if you're a business, if you're even a local business like plumbing, if you don't have a website, you're probably not in business. You know, every restaurant has a website. Why? And put their menu on their website, put their hours, put their location, etc. Everybody's got a website, right? And that's old news. Well, the same thing is going to be true with AI in 2026 and beyond. If you're not using AI in your business, you're going to be just as obsolete as a business today that says, I don't want a website. I need them newfangled websites, you know. I don't need no darn email or whatever. I don't want to use them interwebs. Yeah, well, if you don't use AI, you will be obsolete. Even a plumbing company will use AI to take phone calls, to answer questions, and schedule appointments, and, you know, record complaints or whatever. You don't need a human to do that. Even an auto parts store, you don't need a human to answer the phone. Probably 80% of the calls can be handled by AI. Like, hey, I'm looking for a water pump for a Ford pickup or whatever. Yeah, and the AI is like, well, what year is it? Well, you know, what's the model number? And then it looks up the part. Yeah, I found the part. It's $156. Do you have it in stock? Oh, let me check. Yes, we have one. So swing on by and pick it up. You know, AI can do all that on the phone. If you're not using AI, you're going to be obsolete. So the real significant changes that are coming are going to be this great divide between those who know how to use technology and those who don't, or those who resist it. For those who learn how to use this technology, you know, they're going to do very well in the era ahead because they will have great efficiencies, they will have augmented intelligence, they'll be able to save a tremendous amount of time on all of their tasks, from research to writing to promotions to everything. Customer service, you know, you name it. Whereas those who don't use AI are going to be just bogged down with all kinds of time-consuming tasks, and they won't be able to keep up, they won't be able to compete. And they also won't understand what's happening in the world. Like, why? Why is my employer laying me off from my customer service job? I was doing a great job. I had 5-star rating from my customers. Why are they laying me off? Yeah. If you don't understand that you're obsolete in that specific skill set, then you're going to be confused. So the key is to upgrade your skills and knowledge before you become obsolete. Because the obsolescence wave is going to be very rapid, and it will catch a lot of people by surprise. So get ahead of this curve right now, and you'll be fine. All right, and Let me just add another sort of fourth rule to this, which is that AI will become rapidly normalized across society. In the sense that right now the internet is normalized, you don't think anything. If a company says they have a website, you don't freak out. You have a website? No. It's just like, well, of course you have a website. Everybody's got a website. You have a social media account. You have an email address. You use the interwebs? Yeah, great. Good for you. So does everybody. It's nothing new. It's normalized. Same thing with AI. Same thing with like real-time AI translation. You travel around the world. Let's say you travel to France and you don't speak French. You're just going to pull up your phone. You know, you're going to start speaking in English and it's going to talk in French to the person you're talking to. And it's going to translate back to you what they say in French. And it's going to happen in near real time. And that's going to become normal. You know, the wow factor won't last very long. And actually, the same thing is true with robots. The wow factor will be very short-lived. At first, people are going to say, oh my God, a robot! It's a robot! It's, you know, especially the first time you see a robot shopping at the grocery store. It's a shopping robot! Oh my God! Everybody's going to film it, post it on YouTube. And then, you know, 5 seconds later, people are going to say, yeah, who cares? So it's a robot with a head of lettuce. That's actually not that interesting. It's a robot shopping. I mean, we see people shopping all the time. That's not very interesting. Oh, she's dumping the watermelon. Look, the robot is squeezing the avocados. Yeah, who cares? Nobody. What's actually way more interesting as a societal question is, what is the robot owner doing at home with the time savings since they no longer have to go out and do the shopping themselves? Yeah? See, that's, to me, that's very interesting because will I have a robot shopper? Yeah, of course I will. Sure. Get me some avocados and bananas. Make sure they're all organic, you know. Avoid the GMOs. Sure, I'll have a robot shopper. Wouldn't you? And, you know, at first, some people will try to steal the robots. Like, wow, that's an $80,000 robot or whatever they cost. Walking around, I'm going to steal it. Yeah, not for long. Because all the robots are going to have the I'm stolen mode, which, you know, calls 911 and reports their exact GPS location and then refuses to do anything other than, you know, keep calling 911. And eventually the thieves are going to realize, oh, my God, I stole a robot and now it's useless. And also the robot filmed the entire kidnapping, you know. It already uploaded it to the police and everything. So, yeah, people aren't going to steal robots for very long because they're going to find out it doesn't work. But as you see more and more robots across society, it's going to become very normal. You'll see robots doing lawn care. You'll see robots delivering packages, you'll see robots doing everything, even driving vehicles or working at warehouses, operating forklifts, whatever the case may be. Or the forklift itself may be a giant robot with forks. It's like we'll call it the Forkinator, you know, in case it goes rogue and tries to like fork everybody in the warehouse. Fork you, I'm the Forkinator, you know. Oh, it's a runaway forklift Terminator. And then, you know, the people who don't understand what's happening are going to be all freaked out. Oh my God, the robots are taking over. No. The robots, see, look, I've thought about this a lot more. I'm convinced that it's actually not the individual Terminator robots that are going to be unleashed to achieve mass extermination of humanity. The easiest way for the globalists to do that is to simply turn off the infrastructure that serves humanity. In other words, turn off the power grid. And then you get up to 90% casualty rates in cities, of course. Just turn off the power grid for a few months, you know? Or cut off the water to a big city like Los Angeles, and don't put it past these globalists to do that. I mean, they unleash COVID, they'll unleash bioweapons and call them vaccines. There's all kinds of things they'll do. Yeah, they might unleash drones to try to kill everybody. But I don't think they'll use robots at first anyway, because the robots are just too expensive to send out into hand-to-hand combat. They can use regional infrastructure denial of service attacks. Just like, let's just deny this whole area electricity or water or cell towers or whatever, or all three, while they do things like set things on fire, you know, in certain places that are prone to fires. Or they use weather weapons to cause flooding and cause food crop wipeouts, etc. You know, food scarcity will also achieve a lot of depopulation. So they don't really need to use the robots except for maybe the cleanup phase to get the stragglers. The major waves of the killing of human beings will happen with infrastructure outages that are engineered. They won't use robots for the mass killing. Does that make sense? And that's an argument, by the way, for being more off-grid and more self-reliant. Do you have your own water supply or some backup water? Do you have your own electricity or a generator or solar panels or a way to store electricity? Do you have your own self-defense? Do you have your own emergency medicine? Do you have your own food, storable food and food production, etc.? If you don't have these things in place, then you are vulnerable to the denial of service attacks against the infrastructure. So get up to speed on all of this. So number one, let me give you some action items. Number one, learn to use AI technology because you'll need it to survive. And then secondly, well, use our book engine too. Brightlearn.ai is where you can find that. And then secondly, make sure that you get as off-grid as you can, which means becoming more self-reliant, which means having more redundant backup systems that are decentralized. And I've written books on this. There's a ton of information available on this. I've got the book resilientprepping.com. That's the website, resilientprepping.com. And I think what I'll do is I'll take that transcript of that whole book and I'll feed it into our book engine and produce a new book called Resilient Prepping 2026. Yeah, I think I'll do that because that'll only take a few minutes and it'll be a great book. But anyway, you can find information about this. It's just about choosing to do this and taking action and getting off-grid and becoming self-reliant, learning how to use the tools and being able to survive what's coming. And technology is not your enemy. As Mo Gadot says, AI is a technology that has no polarity. In other words, it's not intrinsically evil or good. No polarity. It's how people choose to use it. If you use it for good, if you use it to empower yourself, if you use it for liberty and freedom and decentralization and abundance, then it's good. It's good technology. But if some corporation uses it to enslave people or if some government uses it to massacre people, well, then it's bad. It's like any technology. Depends on how people use it. But you probably can't live in a world without it, just like you can't go back to the pre-internet world or try living without electricity sometime, huh? Yeah, there's something that would be very challenging. Nobody thinks, oh, I hate electricity, that newfangled, you know, electrons, them traveling so fast, swishing down them wires and pipes. Yeah, nobody says that. Nobody thinks, oh, we should ditch electricity, it's evil. No, electricity is, it also, well, philosophically has no polarity, although you could say physically it does. But philosophically, electricity can be good or bad depending on how people use it, right? And the same thing is true with every technology. So learn how to use AI to enhance your freedom, to enhance your safety. Use all of our AI tools. They're all free at brighteon.ai. And enjoy, you know, explore abundance, explore, you know, how you can get away from the money control system, get into gold and silver, or maybe some privacy crypto that can decentralize you out of the banking system. Learn to grow some of your own food, learn to grow your own medicine, learn to make your own medicine, all these things. These are all key technologies and they can help you tremendously. And if there's any skill that you want to learn and you don't know how to learn it, you can go to brightlearn.ai and you can have it write a book for you free of charge, typically in a few minutes. Sometimes the wait time goes to a couple of hours. But you can have it create a book to teach you anything you want to learn. It's just like downloading programs in the Matrix. You can ask for any program you want. Oh, I want to learn how to fly a helicopter. Okay, well, you can write that book on brightlearn.ai with a one-sentence prompt. Like, create a book about how to learn how to fly helicopters. And it will do that. Anything you want to learn, you can now have it create the book that teaches you how to do that. So there's no barriers to learning everything that you want to learn and need to learn in order to experience safety and abundance and to pursue your life's mission in 2026 and beyond, despite all the robots and all the AI and all the joblessness and all the replacements and everything else. You have the world at your fingertips right now. So check it out. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. And again, all of our tools are at brighteon.ai. Take care.
Organic foods deliver more antioxidants. Our organic adaptogen ginger latte recipe delivers the remarkable health benefits of functional mushrooms, ginger, and more. Get your recipe kit today at the Health Ranger store.